Perspective. Clinicians can deliver effective, slow-paced breathing, SBB, training using smartphone apps and multi-channel data acquisition systems. Smartphone apps have been shown to increase HRV in users, mirroring results from ECG and PPG-based multi-channel biofeedback. Multi-channel clinical systems mainly offer more complete physiology, higher data quality, and better protocol control than smartphone apps. Multi-channel systems can confirm client breathing rates, which is critical for resonance frequency assessment and 6 BPM and resonance frequency slow-paced breathing protocols. Multi-channel systems give a richer, mechanism-level picture. Are we increasing vagal activity in a way that is physiologically healthy, good HRV, normal CO2, relaxed muscles, warm hands, or are we trading one problem, for example, low HRV, for another, cold hands and reduced end-tidal CO2? Slow-paced contraction, SPC, training to increase HRV can also benefit from multi-channel systems. Forearm core ankles resonance frequency assessment and training, a forearm EMG sensor can confirm that the client contracted at the prescribed rate. Based on the groundbreaking work of the late Yevgeny Vashilo and colleagues, SPC can be combined with SBB or used in place of SBB when medically contraindicated, for example, kidney disease. For combined SBB and SPC training, a respirometer can assess your client's breathing rate and pattern. In this post, we will explain sensor placement, position, resonance frequency assessment, training protocols, success and failure indicators, and progress indicators. Sensor placement. Choose an ECG sensor, like Thought Technology EKG Flex Pro. Use a chest or Eric Pepper's lower torso placement. The lower torso placement preserves client modesty and reduces EMG contamination of the ECG signal. Place an EMG sensor like Thought Technology Limited S-MyoScan over the forearm extensors and flexors to measure the rate of SPC. For SPC plus SBB, add Thought Technology Limited S-Respiration sensor over the abdomen to measure respiration rate and pattern. Resonance frequency assessment. Clinicians can use stepped or sliding protocols to measure client resonance frequencies. Stepped protocols. In a stepped protocol, instruct your client to contract the wrists, core, and ankles, or the wrists and ankles, for 2-minute intervals from 7.0 to 4.0 contractions per minute, CPM, decreasing in 0.5 CPM steps with 2-minute rest periods. Record physiological activity during SPC as separate 2-minute epochs. Create a separate display for each resonance frequency trial and capture 2 minutes of EMG and HR waveforms on the same graph for each contraction rate, CR. Consider the following modified directions when introducing each CR. Now try contracting your wrists, core, and ankles, or wrists and ankles, at this frequency, following the pacer. After your client completes 2 minutes of SPC, check on their comfort and verify that they followed the pacer by confirming the average CR for that trial. Repeat trials if the clients were 0.25 CPM too fast or slow. Assessment without an electromyograph lacks this quality control. We cannot verify that clients have contracted their muscles at the target rates in these cases. Check for artifactual IBIs and repeat invalid epochs after the client has rested for 2 minutes. Examine the segment spectral display for the location of LF peaks. When a peak occurs at 4.0 or 7.0 BPM, extend assessment with trials 0.5 CPM above and below this inflection point until LF amplitude decreases. Sliding protocols. Fisher and Lehrer described a 15-minute automated sliding protocol in which participants breathe between 4.25 and 6.5 BPM with a constant 67.04 millisecond rate of change. Since peak trough amplitude proportionally increases as clients approach the resonance frequency, the sliding protocol measures this metric at 78 frequencies. In contrast to the subjectively weighted multiple criteria of the stepped approach, the sliding protocol identifies the frequency with the largest peak trough amplitude. The mean absolute difference in resonance frequency between the two methods was 0.22 plus or minus 0.169 BPM. The authors raised the issue of whether this slight difference between resonance frequency estimates is too small to affect physiological or psychological outcomes. Although the sliding protocol was designed for SBB, it could be readily adapted to SPC. Selecting the resonance frequency. HR Max HR Min is a good resonance frequency criterion. While smartphone apps can extract breathing information from the inter beat intervals, multi-channel biofeedback systems employ respirometers to determine when each breathing cycle starts and ends. Either method allows us to calculate a new resonance frequency criterion, HR Max HR Min. Fisher and Lehrer used peak trough, RSA, amplitude to determine the resonance frequency. HR Max HR Min measures RSA amplitude. It is a workable resonance frequency criterion because RSA amplitude the most important HRV source, with the heart rate baroreflex and vascular tone baroreflex next in importance. Training to increase HR Max HR Min can raise resting HF power, a proxy for vagal tone, depending on the protocol and population. HRV training to increase HR Max HR Min resembles resistance training. In resistance training, you expose muscle fibers to repeated, structured loading, which triggers both acute recruitment and long-term adaptations, hypertrophy, improved neural recruitment. HRV biofeedback applies a comparable logic to baroreflex and vagal control. Each session of resonance frequency breathing produces large, regular oscillations in blood pressure and RR intervals. During practice, baroreflex gain and low-frequency HRV, reflecting the 0.1 Hz oscillation, increase markedly, demonstrating that the reflex arcs are being intensely recruited in real time. Over weeks or months of daily practice, several studies report that even outside the training periods, individuals show higher resting baroreflex sensitivity and more robust vagally mediated HRV. The same pattern, dose, response improvements in HRV and baroreflex sensitivity with repeated cardiovascular training, has also been seen with exercise training, which further supports an exercise-like model of autonomic plasticity. In other words, the reflex arcs that couple blood pressure to heart rate and vascular tone appear capable of both short-term recruitment, large oscillations during a session, and long-term adaptation, higher gain, and HRV at rest, when regularly loaded by slow, coherent breathing and biofeedback. That is precisely the pattern we expect from an exercise system. HR Max HR Min doesn't index vagal tone. Although HR Max HR Min is a reasonable resonance frequency criterion, readers should not conflate it with vagal tone. HR Max HR Min is especially sensitive to the effects of respiration rate, independent of vagus nerve traffic, and therefore reflects RSA amplitude rather than vagal tone per SE. In fact, Marmorstein and colleagues demonstrated in an animal study that overall vagal activity, when directly measured, was not associated with RSA magnitude. Grossman reminds us that RSA amplitude is influenced by more factors than cardiac vagal tone, respiration rate and tidal volume, sympathetic activity, age, gender, non-parasympathetic mechanical factors, behavioral and psychological states, cardiac aliasing, intrinsic cardiac nervous system interactions, and hypercapnia, CO2 elevations. Why not prioritize LF power? LF power is a widely used resonance frequency selection criterion, and successful HRV biofeedback training protocols target LF power. For example, the Institute of HeartMath's coherence metric is maximized when a narrow peak occurs between 0.09 and 0.14 Hz in the LF range. The rationale for targeting HR Max HR Min is that RSA exercises the HR baroreflex, while LF power confirms pacing precision. In practice, we want to maximize both metrics, since HR Max HR Min will be greatest when pacing at your client's resonance frequency within the LF range. To date, we have not found head-to-head comparisons of HR Max HR Min and LF training. Slow-paced contraction training protocols. We will describe sitting position, muscle recruitment, SPC, and SPC plus SBB protocols, success and difficulty indicators, and when you should use each protocol in this section. Position. Clients should recline with their ankles crossed and feet supported by a footrest or separate chair. Although the original Vashilo protocol only contracted wrists and ankles with legs uncrossed, we have observed greater respiratory sinus arrhythmia, RSA. using wrist, core, and crossed ankle contraction. RSA represents breathing-mediated changes in peak-to-trough heart rate differences. Muscle groups. Instruct your clients to gently simultaneously contract their wrists, core, and ankles for SPC or wrists and ankles for slow-paced contraction with slow-paced breathing. Borrowing from Dr. Eric Pepper's approach, encourage effortless contraction to ensure a smooth rhythm and minimize fatigue. Your clients should use about 25% of their maximum effort. They should feel as if their wrists, core, ankles are contracting themselves rather than forcing the movement. This gentle approach promotes sustainable practice and prevents the activation of stress responses like vagal withdrawal that could counteract the training benefits. They should hold each contraction for 3 seconds. Clients should start 1.5 seconds before each cycle's peak and 1.5 seconds after each cycle's peak. Slow-paced contraction with or without slow-paced breathing. You can combine slow-paced contraction, SPC, with slow-paced breathing, SBB, or use it alone to increase HRV. When combining these techniques, limit contraction to the wrists and ankles to permit the abdomen to expand and the diaphragm to descend. Instruct your clients to start inhaling when they start contracting and start exhaling when they relax their muscles. Training trial review. Fit an entire 3-minute segment on the screen to review it together. When your client succeeded, you might point out where they succeeded. Promote mindfulness. Before starting the next segment, you might ask, "What were you doing when the display became wave-like and regular? What happened when the display became more jagged and irregular?" If accessory SEMG exceeded 2 microvolts, point this out on the display. Ask them if they felt the heightened breathing effort and encourage them to let their shoulders relax and allow themselves to breathe. Reassure them that it's normal for the tracings to be choppy when people start training and that they will gradually become more wave-like as their breathing becomes more rhythmic and regular. Instead of overwhelming them with corrections, ask them to experiment with 1 or 2 changes at a time. For example, effortless breathing is rhythmic like ocean waves. Allow your stomach to gently expand and contract as you follow the pacing display. Session review. After your client has completed 6 3-minute training segments, take a 3-minute post-baseline without feedback. After the post-baseline, ask your client how they felt and what they learned during the training session. Display the entire session on one screen and highlight where they succeeded and where they need more work. Comparing pre- and post-baseline values. Without pacing or feedback, your client should breathe at typical rates during the pre- and post baselines. HF power, RMSSD, and hand temperature may increase, while the skin conductance level may decrease. HF power increases from approximately 100 microvolts during the pre-training baseline to approximately 300 microvolts during the post-training baseline. This change is important because increased HF power can signal greater vagal tone. Also, note the greater LF power concentration post-training compared with pre-training, during which the client breathed at typical rates. Important HRV biofeedback training elements. The clinician's relationship with their client is foundational. HRV biofeedback apps like Optimal HRV allow daily monitoring and practice. When should you combine SPC with SBB? Dr. Ina Kazan combines SPC with SBB when her clients struggle to learn SBB. SBC can serve as a powerful pacing cue for their breathing rhythm and model of the effortlessness we encourage. Matt Bennett, Optimal HRV co-founder, recommends it to increase HRV for clients who have mastered SBB. He finds that their HR max, HR min, and low frequency values are greater when they combine SPC with SBB. They can see improved results after training trials using the Optimal HRV application. Several clinicians who treat postural orthostatic tachycardia syndrome, POTS, which is characterized by an excessive increase in heart rate upon standing, report that they have minimal HRV and require the combined approach to achieve clinical gains. Pilot summary. These data suggest that 2 oscillators, 6 CPM SPC and 6 BPM SBB, can synergistically increase RSA and HRV time and frequency domain measurements. Confirmation awaits a planned Truman Center randomized controlled trial. When should you use SPC alone? Prioritize slow-paced contraction, SPC, when slow-paced breathing, SBB, is not advisable due to dysfunctional breathing patterns or medical contraindications that make respiratory interventions unsafe or ineffective. SBC engages the autonomic nervous system through rhythmic, low-intensity skeletal muscle contractions that mimic the oscillatory effects of breathing on heart rate variability, HRV, and vagal modulation, without directly altering respiration. This approach supports parasympathetic activation and enhances baroreflex engagement while maintaining safety for individuals with conditions such as chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, panic-prone respiratory sensitivity, or unstable cardiovascular responses. In such cases, SBC serves as a functional analog to SBB, providing a gentle, body-based entrainment method that stabilizes autonomic tone without invoking potentially disruptive ventilatory dynamics. Dysfunctional breathing. Slow-paced breathing can be challenging for clients who breathe dysfunctionally, particularly those who exhibit over-breathing or hyperventilation patterns. These individuals may struggle with the precise respiratory control required for effective SBB training. SBC provides an alternative pathway to cardiovascular resonance that bypasses problematic breathing patterns, allowing these clients to access the benefits of HRV biofeedback training without respiratory-based interventions. Disorders that affect respiration may elevate breathing rates to 18 to 28 breaths per minute. These elevated rates make it extremely difficult for clients to slow their breathing to the 4.0 to 7.0 BPM range required for effective SBB training. Conditions such as anxiety disorders and panic disorder can chronically elevate respiratory rates, making SBC a more accessible alternative intervention approach. Pain-related respiratory changes. Sustained pain can increase the respiration rate from typical levels to approximately 17 to 18 BPM. Patients experiencing chronic pain may be unable to slow their breathing to the 4.0 to 7.0 BPM range necessary for effective SBB training. Pain-related respiratory changes reflect the body's natural stress response and autonomic nervous system activation, making breathing-based interventions more challenging to implement effectively in these populations. Metabolic acidosis. SBB may be medically contraindicated when altered breathing patterns could be hazardous for clients suffering from diabetes or kidney disease that produce metabolic acidosis, excess acid in the body fluid. In these conditions, the body relies on specific respiratory patterns to maintain acid-base balance, making interventions that alter breathing potentially dangerous to the client's physiological homeostasis. Respiratory acidosis. Common respiratory acidosis causes include chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, COPD, asthma, pneumonia, and neuromuscular disorders that affect breathing muscles. These conditions impair the lung's ability to eliminate carbon dioxide effectively, leading to respiratory acidosis. Interventions that further alter breathing patterns could exacerbate these underlying physiological imbalances. Patients may breathe rapidly to protect acid-base balance in medical disorders that cause a decrease in blood pH, leading to acidosis. Rapid breathing helps to expel carbon dioxide, CO2, from the body, which in turn can increase the pH and counteract the acidosis. This compensatory hyperventilation represents a crucial physiological adaptation that maintains homeostasis. Interventions that interfere with this compensatory mechanism could compromise the patient's health and safety. SBC provides a safe alternative that can improve heart rate variability and autonomic balance without disrupting these essential respiratory compensatory mechanisms. Key takeaways. 1. SBC is a core HRV exercise pioneered by Yevgeny Vashilov's group. It can be paired with SBB or used instead when SBB is contraindicated, e.g., metabolic and kidney conditions. 2. Teach with a 3-lead ECG sensor lower torso placement when using a data acquisition system like the ProComp Infinity. 3. Position clients reclined, ankles crossed, and supported. Cue gentle, effortless wrist core ankle contractions held approximately 3 seconds. Encourage 25% effort to avoid vagal withdrawal. 4. Time each contraction to the pacer peak. Start approximately 1.5 seconds before and approximately 1.5 seconds after. to synchronize with cardiovascular rhythms and amplify resonance effects. 5. Combine slow-paced contraction with slow-paced breathing when appropriate and prioritize SPC alone for dysfunctional breathing or when slowing respiration would be unsafe.